All right. Let me talk to you, Mike, for a second.
Before we start this, yes. I would like to issue a full, heartfelt apology. And at the end of this, I will give you another apology.
God,
so you have an apology sandwich.
Okay. What's this?
Who did you kill?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is yet.
Because I'm like, damn it, you're ruining it.
There's some training in here. I barely got in the door. He offered me coffee. Now he's apologizing unprovoked.
In 2005, comedian Keith Malley and his partner Hemda Khalili started a podcast called Keith and the Girl. Their intention was to use it as a tool to promote his stand-up comedy career, but in the ensuing 4 years, the show has taken on a life of its own. They've produced over 1,000 daily episodes. The back catalog receives a total of over 1 million downloads a month. Over 40 people have tattooed themselves with some variation of the Keith and the Girl logo. Through the show, they've received a publishing deal. It's allowed them to quit their day jobs, and the spare room in their Queens, New York home, which doubles as their broadcast studio, is filled with Keith and the Girl-related merchandise. To help deal with the business of shipping merchandise worldwide, they occasionally enlist the help of an intern. One of these interns was a 19-year-old named Michael, who is also from Queens.
By the way, we have Michael in the room. Not a bad guy. He's our new intern. Today's his first day.
And how are you today, Michael?
Doing very well.
Fantastic.
Keith and the Girl is a personality-based talk show. An interpersonal conflict, to some degree, between the host, the fans, and the guests is a fairly common occurrence. When intern Mike started appearing on the show proper, things were no different.
We're mentioning this. Let's do this right now. Everybody ready? Tough love, I call this. This is an open letter to Mike the intern. All right, here's what it is. There is a way, Mike, that you talk. You have a very forceful way of talking.
Intern and I, in the beginning, would talk more, but I had more time to cook, so I was cooking, and he's into it, and it's like I really like talking to people about cooking, so we would discuss it, and Keith would overhear a lot of stuff and would want to kick his ass because there's a tone. And I just know, when you're 19 years
obviously
old...
Obviously, I wouldn't fight him, but I would say, well, you can't work for us anymore.
Yeah,
sorry,
we would
talk
have conversations after he left about, like, I don't think that he can talk to you like that. And I would have to discuss, like, look, this is a 19-year-old person who forgot what you were like when you're 19.
Maybe because, like, he thinks he has to be abrasive. Maybe he's not.
Yes.
Maybe he's not
yes,
abrasive,
he does.
But he feels that he has to be.
Yes, that's another thing.
You know what
so,
I mean? Like, I think maybe he's acting because he's a nice kid. Like, I've met him quite a few times, and he's been nothing but like really nice.
You won't complain when Saturday is every day forever. When all your friends and all your enemies move in together, you'll just ride.
Intern Mike is with us as well, out of retirement. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
His friend, the beautiful Lily, is here.
First date was, you know, it was good. Talked a lot, had a lot of laughs, it was good. Then the day we had the second date, that was the day of Dear Intern.
A show you were on that...
No, I wasn't on. That was just you shitting on me.
Oh, okay.
Right before I left the house, I was listening to that show, and then I had to go on a date. I just felt like shit that entire day. That episode devastated me.
Aww. Do you think it made you a better person? Or was it just...
I'm less of an asshole to you, right?
I think
right?
so.
I had to go on a date with her. I was shit. I was depressed the entire day.
Aww.
Every time I tried to talk to her, anytime there was any silence, I would just revert back to the episode and just remember how shitty I am. So that fucked up the date.
Did you cry?
I kind of wanted to.
Right.
Didn't, though.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was. Well,
aww.
I deserved it.
Aww.
Look at Henda. Henda would be the worst mother, by the way. It just hit me. And look how Henda's offended. She's offended. She hates kids. But that's no offense.
Despite this sometimes rocky relationship, Michael decided to one-up the people who had Keith and the Girl tattoos by getting a Keith and the Girl branding.
Let me mention this about my buddy Mike the Intern. MySpace.com/brandtheintern. He's getting a branding of the Keith and the Girl logo. If you like Mike the Intern, he says, then donate. Sure. If you don't like me, then definitely donate. Watch
it's
me.
Painful.
Watch me. I'm getting my flesh seared. It's going to be a branding and a cutting. The outline will be cut, so I think that means like slowly, oh. It's like drawn. The inside will be branded. The outline is cut to contain the swelling.
Oh.
41 tattoos under the Keith and the Girl banner, let's say, and one branding already, and he will be the second branding.
I was given footage of the branding to put together as a short video clip, which can be seen at keithandthegirltv.com. It's episode 22, and I think it's worth watching before listening to this, to see visually just how severe a process getting a branding is. To help me put this clip together, Michael recorded about an hour of his thoughts about the branding process, most of which I had to cut to keep the video short. But I found it very interesting, so I decided to put it together into this audio program. This is former Keith and the Girl intern Michael's thoughts on receiving a large 5-inch by 5-inch branding of the Keith and the Girl logo on his ribs just under his armpit, and the healing process that ensued.
I'm in the park, just warming up. It's like 2:30. I just gotta find a spot that no one can sneak up behind me and kill or mug me. All right, I found a nice spot with my back to the fence, so I can run left or right if I need to. Let's start from the beginning on how this whole debacle went down. I faintly remember on one episode of Keith and the Girl, they mentioned how they had all these tattoos, but, you know, someone's got to take it to the next level, and they briefly mentioned about a branding. And then lo and behold, about a month later, that girl, Megan, she got that whore brand that she did at home with a bent hanger, which is, it's amazing, and it inspired me.
Whoar is Humans United Against Robots, another of Keith Malley's projects. Megan from Southern California had fashioned a clothes hanger into the Whoar initials, heated it up, and branded herself with it on the upper thigh, becoming the first official Keith and the Girl branding.
So, I guess I just went on YouTube and I just Googled, like, body branding, just find anything I found, and I got clips of a National Geographic documentary about it and how these people go get it done, and how one guy, he got it the old-fashioned way, not like the whole piece made in not one single strike, but the guy would take a piece of, just a plain piece of iron in a vice grip, and he just took a blowtorch, heated it up, and just touched that metal to the skin, and that whole process would take so much longer because he would have to reapply heat to it. And then there was another girl that got it the way I got it done, which was a cauterizing gun, basically an arc welder, just a pen that shoots electricity. And I saw that documentary, and I was just amazed. I thought it was so cool. I don't know what other word to use it. It was just cool. So I was lucky enough that in the documentary, one of the guys who got the branding got it in New York, and they mentioned the artist's name, Brian Decker. So I Googled him, and I found his website, purebodyart.com. And I looked through his portfolio, and I saw his pictures. Pictures of all the work he's done. He mostly did cuttings, and I just kept doing research. I went to like Body Mods Extreme, the bodymodsezine.com, and they had a whole Wikipedia about the aftercare and everything that was needed, and how it would take about 8 months because I'm trying to stifle the healing at every possible moment. And none of that was ever really a deterrent. It's like I knew it was going to be extremely painful.
The more I see people with like tattoos and piercings, the more I think it's just so awesome. Body art, having decoration on yourself, it's exciting. It's an awesome story to tell. I'll be able to tell this story, till the day I die.
The day of the branding, it was odd. Just walking into something that I have set up and arranged that is going to be traumatic, to say the least. I don't know how to explain that. If you don't know what it is, it's not exactly nervous or anxiety. It's just knowing that something extraordinary and enormous is about to happen. Something that you can never take back, you can never change. I imagine people on death row feel this way. Today they have to take their last walk. It's like you know it's gonna happen. You don't feel anxiety or remorse because you did this to yourself. Honestly, I remember, and
nothing was going through my head. I didn't have any thoughts. I just woke up, did my things, and then started walking to get to the bus, to get to the tattoo shop. I just had my headphones listening to music because I couldn't think. I mean, what was there to think about? I had no idea what kind of pain was going to happen, so there's no reason to be scared about that. It's dumb to be afraid of things you don't understand, you don't have a concept for. The artist, Brian, he was very accommodating. I definitely recommend him. He's great with what he does. I really wish he was less sarcastic, though. Like, I was trying to ask him some, like, serious questions, and he was a little too jokey about it. Like, after I got it done, I asked him, am I going to be able to play sports with this? And he kind of giggled and said, if you could take it. Which I don't understand what that meant. Like, was it okay as long as I can understand the pain? Or was he just being sarcastic? And he was just saying, there's no fucking way you're going to take that pain. There's no fucking way you're gonna play sports. And right after the cutting was done, before the branding started, I told him that, like, I'd read some stuff, specifically with the cauterizing gun, that the electricity kills the nerve almost instantly so that the pain isn't as bad as it could be with something less hot. And he heard this and he just, like, stared at me, opened his eyes wide, fucking looked down, giggled, and turned away slowly. I could have done without that. And then his girlfriend came in the middle of the branding, and then they started, like, mildly bickering with each other. Like, I didn't need to listen to them having their little boyfriend-girlfriend arguments. I was just trying to sit there and enjoy the pain, because there's nothing else you can do with that pain. I mean, the whole thing took about 2.5 hours. Cutting didn't... Well, it's not that bad. It really isn't, because he had to do 2 cuts. The first time he just broke the skin, it doesn't hurt as much as you think. It's really just a paper cut, maybe twice as hard as paper cut. Then he rubbed that numbing gel in it, and it worked wonders. With the numbing gel, I could barely feel anything, which was a bit boring. But he did tell me that if he didn't use the numbing gel, there is no possible way I would have went on with it. And he says he doesn't do cuttings to people that refuse the numbing gel. But that's mostly for him, because the numbing gel stopped bleeding. Because if it bleeds too much, he can't see what he's doing. At some point during the second cutting, I did feel the motion of his hand going through the cut. I was so certain that it stopped a little, and I swore he hit my rib, because he had to cut that deep. The cutting was fantastic. I mean, you can take a look at pictures of just the cutting, and it does look great. I do kind of regret getting it on my ribs, because I couldn't watch it happen. I really would have liked to watch him burn me. I really wanted to see it happen. That would have added an entirely new element of pain to it. I kind of wanted that. Immediately after the branding was intense, because after you build up so many endorphins, when I heard him say, "All right, you're done," I just wanted to cry. I wanted to cry so hard, because I was just so happy that it was over, and I'm so happy that I got through it. As soon as he was done, I just took a second, stood up, and looked at it in the mirror. I almost fell over because my legs were numb. My mind couldn't fully comprehend what had just happened. Through that experience, I did learn a lot about pain management. When you're being tortured like that, so intensely and severely, all you can do is accept it. If you fight it, it'll just hurt more. You just need to sit there and become wrapped in your thoughts and just accept the pain as if this pain has been with you your entire life and it's nothing new. Imagine that this pain, you've been living with it for your entire life and this is not a surprise. And after the branding was done, grabbed a beer with Keith and Relic and just sat there at the bar, and all I could think of was how I'm 20 years old and I've got something that will last a lifetime. It will last forever. And in the 20 years of my existence, do I have any comprehension of what forever or lifetime actually means? 20 years probably isn't a quarter of my lifetime. People definitely do ask me, why didn't I go in drunk? Or, like, take painkillers. But you know what? It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Why would I want to diminish that? I do enjoy the pain. That's for certain. Now what I'm going to do with that information is yet to be determined, but I do know in the back of my head, I do like to get hurt. As long as it's controlled and intense, pain feels good. There's no way to explain that to anyone who doesn't understand or anyone who is unwilling to try it themselves. I'm happy that I was sort of pushed into this, because if it was left to me, I would have procrastinated. And I'm happy that there was like an outside force, I don't want to say coercing, but motivating me to get it. And that is sort of the flaw in all of this. The more people told me it was crazy and it was dumb, the more I wanted to do it. And honestly, I guess I would have to say, I don't know, just so I can be a little big shot. This branding has really taught me a lot about myself. It's interesting to live a life where you don't know who you are, you don't know what you can expect from yourself, you don't know what you're capable of. The rest of the day of the branding was interesting, because even beforehand I knew that the first day I got it, I had to show my mother, because it was a lot of care to take care of a branding. I had to wash it 4 times a day, I had to cover it in saran wrap and tape it down. I couldn't keep that away from my mother. Couldn't just go around the house acting suspicious like that. Took about an hour to rack up the nerves and sit my mom down and just lift up my shirt. I had expected her to flip the fuck out. I really did. I thought she was gonna slap me. I expected her to punch me. My mom's a tough girl. I half expected her to kick me out. And I'd probably have to go to my dad's house and then show him. But actually, it turned out better than I had hoped. Better than I expected. So I lifted up my shirt. It was covered in gauze or whatever. And at first my mom thought I got stabbed, which probably would be my first reaction too. And then I had to explain that I'm fine, but I essentially just said to her I got a tattoo, because I don't think she would have understood what a branding is or what a cutting is. And frankly, it didn't really matter. Tattoos are just as bad in her mind. She wasn't angry, really. She didn't go ballistic, but mostly she was upset and disappointed. She kind of laid the guilt card on me, which in some ways is worse, saying that I knew better. Stepped on the cracks, my chin broke your own back. The things that you own, that you bought in store. Or, I'm supposed to be the good son, and I would have never done something like this. No one else in her family has ever gotten body art done, or any tattoos or anything. Not even really any piercings. She was just shocked and disappointed. And I gotta admit, it kinda hurt. Got dirt on your face. Still you got something to say. Gonna make it alright if you find the time. It really did. It hurt that I broke my mother's heart. And it doesn't help that she didn't approve of Keith and the girl to begin with. She really didn't like me working with them. She just thought it was a waste of time. And then she kind of went off on a whole couple of rants. Just irrational mom rants that doesn't make sense. She thought that, well, you know, she couldn't see it at first. I just told her that it was a tattoo. So she just thought it was an initiation for a gang. My mom thinks I'm always getting into gangs. And then I told her that, you know, it's a tattoo branding of Keith and the Girl. To which she then thought that Keith and the Girl was a cult. And I thought it was hilarious. Of course, I held back my laughter. And my mom's kind of religious, so she did get a little scared for my heavenly soul, I suppose. She said tattoos are the mark of the beast. Then she went on, am I on drugs? Which is dumb. I told her that I got it entirely sober. And then this was about the second day I told her that I was entirely sober for it. And then she kind of got jokey with me, which was extremely weird, because I didn't think she would kind of get over it this fast or start making jokes about a second day. So I told her I was sober, and she said, "Why the fuck didn't they give you wine? I mean, for your bris, we gave you wine. For this, you got nothing." That doesn't... Then she made some couple half jokes like, "Why didn't you just tell me? I would have done it for you. I have an oven. I could have stuck something in there and then poked you with it." And then she got back on the cult things like, "If Keith Negril is a cult, I'm going to strangle you." Which I laughed at later, never to her face, because I have more respect than that. And I kind of felt bad for the entire time she was trying to reprimand me, because I was only half listening, and the other half of me was just taking mental notes so that as soon as she left the room, I could write it down in my notepad so I don't forget this and I can tell all you people. The healing process, just the entire aftercare process was so much worse than actually having it done. It's sort of just the little things that never matter when you're healthy. They're just amplified so much when you have an open wound on you. Simply just taking a shower was so hard, because I have to make sure that water never directly hit my ribs. And then getting out of the shower, God forbid that a single bead of water would run down it. It is an intense combination of pain and tickling that you can't scratch, you can't really do anything to it. And whenever it itched, all you could really do was pat it with your hand, or just ever so lightly scratch it with the back of your nails. And you never really realize how much you use your ribs until they're out of commission. Taking a dump was hard. It hurt. Jerking off hurt a lot. But you know what? You can't stop that. You gotta keep doing it. Oddly enough, the first couple days were not bad at all. They barely hurt, because I guess it's still open. There's no real repair going on. I was able to play handball like the second day. I just didn't want to work myself up too much, because then it would start bleeding. For like the first week, I had to keep it under saran wrap. And having it under saran wrap in the heat of the summer just made it so hot. I got a lot of heat rash, which you can see in the photos, which was just like a lot of just bumps around it. And having the saran wrap, I had to tape it down so that it wouldn't crumble at the edges. And I quickly learned that by day three, I had kept putting the tape in the same place that I had to reapply 4 times a day. So putting the tape back on and off in the same spot, I ended up ripping a small piece of flesh off of it because I was using pretty good surgical tape. I don't remember what day it happened. It was probably day 4, 5, 6, or 7. Those are the worst days, the artist would later tell me, because I suppose that's when it first starts closing up. I stopped using saran wrap by the artist's recommendation because of the heat rash was getting so bad. I started using gauze, just plain gauze, and before I went to sleep, I put on gauze and taped it down, and then a couple hours later, I woke up because it was hurting. I had to take off the gauze and put on more just to keep it fresh, and I had discovered that I had healed into the gauze, so I had to rip it out, and ripping out was essentially reopening the wound, setting myself back a couple days. That was so much more painful than the branding. I remember it very clearly, just having to peel it off slowly. And stupid me, it never occurred to me to wet the gauze before I removed it, which is what you're supposed to do. But no, I peeled it off dry, and I could hear my flesh rip and pop. And I had to wash it after that, because I didn't want to put on more gauze with it being dirty. And washing that with fresh soap and water, a fresh open wound, I don't want to sound cliche, but it was so painful. It felt like insanity. Like, I was just trembling. I'm standing up in the shower, trying to wash it, and I am just quaking. I am like I have Parkinson's, just utterly shaking. But I had to go through it. I had to keep doing it. Just trying to clean it more made it hurt more. There's nothing I could do. I had to do it. And that didn't happen once. That didn't happen twice. It happened 4 times. And then the 3rd and 4th times, I was using non-stick gauze, which I can say is a lie, and it absolutely did stick, and I did heal to it. One time after I got done taking a shower, and I had to dry the brand, I forgot to bring paper towels into the bathroom, so I figured I would just use toilet paper, and I had forgotten that toilet paper disintegrates, so I was patting it dry, and it disintegrated into the open cuts. And I had to peck out these little pieces with just my fingernails. It was quite painful. And having that the wound on my ribs was, really felt weird by about week two, because like the full scab was happening. And to have such a big scab on your ribs, it really feels like someone removed 2 inches from one side and now you're lopsided. You don't have that much stretching ability on one side, but the other side's fine. So you kind of have to walk with your shoulder, your right shoulder, just the little, like 2 inches lower than your left one, because you can't stretch it. And if you do, it'll crack open and bleed, which has happened to me a couple times.
How you doing, man? How's your branding? It came out great. Yeah. You happy with it?
I'm very happy with it. It's getting a little spotty because the scab's starting to heal over.
What's spotty mean?
Spotty, like some of it looks like hamburger, some of it looks like skin.
Okay.
Yum.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, right?
Yeah, I suppose. It's too early to tell, really.
You were saying that the pain was the initial cutting, 7 out of 10, and then the pain for the branding that they fill in and burn your skin was an 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
Oof.
It was quite a lot.
I don't know. And then I heard it smelled like flesh. And
I would have been over.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that it's slowly burning, and it's
very slow.
The process is ridiculous.
Filling in, he got the silhouette of Hemda and myself, and filling it in, you're filling it in like it's a pencil almost.
Right.
It's an electric pen. And you're just slowly burning. You can't just stamp a
like
circle for the head.
Where you kind of run across.
He did an incredible job. So do you know what it's supposed to? Because right now it looks like somebody dug out your skin in the shape of our silhouette.
Like a grapefruit spoon.
Yeah, and so what is it supposed to look like afterwards? Will it be raised?
Yeah, it should be raised like a keloid, and it should just be the color of a scar. And my scars, because I have darker skin, it should just look like more darker.
So the layer on top is going to fall off at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about your shirt? Does it hurt? Just, you know, kind of when your shirt hits your skin?
No, it's not the shirt. It's the stretching. Just when I'm walking, you know, swinging your arms, you know, you use that swing muscle a
sweat
lot.
Sweat getting in there and all that stuff.
You think, mate, do you have to swagger less now, you think?
Yeah.
It's affected my swagger.
I gotta keep the pimping down.
Now, here's an interesting question that I got in an email. What if I end up hating Keith and the Girl? And would I try to remove it? So what if I end up hating them? I mean, frankly, I already half hate them right now. Shit that I've had to put up with. And understandably, I walked into it and I set myself up for it. But, you know, having to cope with it, it's tough. But it's not all their fault. It is my fault too. So no. Even if I do end up hating them completely, I would never remove this. I would never change it. I'm glad getting this branding hurt so much. Because now it reflects how I feel about them. Because I definitely did not get this out of love for them. If anything, I got it out of complete and utter surrender. And I recognize that they're to blame for many bad things in my life, but they're also responsible for some of the greatest. The person that started working for them about a year ago is not the person I am today. That person is unrecognizable to me. I don't know what the fuck I was doing then. I mean, the art itself, I don't really care for either way. I just wanted to get the branding done to see how it was. And I mean, because it's gonna leave a mark, might as well get something that means something. I don't think I've ever had anything else in my life that actually meant something. Anything that I would carry with me for the rest of my life and find poignant. Working for them was by far the dumbest, craziest, most incredible thing that's ever happened in my life. I accept Keith and the Girl as part of my life, whether I like it or not. And by that, I more mean Keith and Hamda as a person, as people, more so than the show. It's a good show, but I don't know if I would brand the show on myself. But as people, they've helped me grow. A little less growing, a little more tearing down and rebuilding the person that I am. I'm just lucky enough to have the kind of personality that is like a chameleon, that I could literally change my personality within a matter of months, let's say. That I don't really have a solid one. I mean, I don't understand myself 2 months ago. Why was I such a dick at that burger competition? Why was I such a prick there? I don't get it. I don't know what happened there. So I'm sorry about that. No reason for me to be a dick about burgers. I did get a chance to watch the video of me getting it done again. And wow, that was hard to stomach. Not because it was me, but because I guess I am squeamish to that kind of stuff. It's like, I can't watch that surgery stuff on the Discovery Channel. That is fucking disgusting. Would I do it again? You know, immediately after I got it done, I was so determined that I never would. And then the day after, I was thinking back on it, and I don't know, my hormone levels must have been so fucked with that I thought it was the greatest fucking thing on the planet, and I just wanted to get it done all over me. The endorphin rush can't be explained. To just lie there on the table, hopeless, and at someone else's mercy, and just have your spirit constantly broken. I don't know, there's something beautiful about that. That in the time you're on the table, nothing else matters. You're forced to meditate. Because in that time, you're the only one that can save you. It's a test of willpower everyone should experience. Before all of this ever happened, like the day before, I was worried that I was going to enjoy it and that I would get addicted to it. And you know, I told that to people, everyone laughed. This was before. But yeah, I guess I know myself better than I think I do. Because it did happen. I did enjoy it. Now I am afraid of getting addicted to it. I do have an addictive personality. I latch on to things more often than I should. If I could do it without having a wound on me, yeah, I would. Because the pain is a religious experience. I enjoyed the pain. I did. I recommend everyone suffer to that degree. And after having done it, I can definitely say that I honestly feel everyone should be tortured for 2 hours, at least 2 hours. It is a religious experience. You will find out things that you could only dream of. Because as you're sitting there under the knife or under the molten iron, all you can do is find your inner peace. And I assure you that in 2 hours of torture, you will find nirvana. I am worried how I'm going to top this, though. Because, I mean, I've already got a branding on my ribs. I think the only other spot on the body which I'm told can hurt more is the shoulder blade. And in telling this story, it is very easy for me to figure out who's a fucking square and who's cool and open-minded. Usually the cool, open-minded people are less shocked. I mean, still shocked, of course, when they see it, but less shocked. And they are more willing to ask questions about it. But anyone who's shocked and speechless and sort of, like, turns away, you know that they've never done anything exciting in their life. It has also taught me that I am probably a good amount of insane. I don't mean that in any joking fashion. I do mean that clinically. That I am probably crazy. That really was tough for me to say, especially since people can hear this. But I do fully recognize that someone doesn't get a third degree burn on purpose and have it all together. That's not something, quote, normal people do. I don't know how I'm going to top it. I mean, I did see a National Geographic documentary on crucifixion, and that seems kind of cool. But that might take a little longer than a month to heal. Otherwise, I would probably be down to try it. I wish that was a joke.
I remember one of the first times it happened. And yes, you were the person we were talking about when I said, hey, we were laughing. Hey, we have this friend that, why does he keep yelling at me? You're into cooking, obviously. You were saying something to Henda about how you make pesto pasta. And Henda said, it's very simple. I cook the pasta. I put in some pesto. And he says, I don't know what pesto is. I'm like, what the fuck? And I don't even think it was that. I just remember that scenario. But there was something else where I remember going, okay, I guess this is the last time we see him. Well, like, he says everything very, very forcefully. And Henda had to tell me, he's young and this is the way he talks. And once I realized that, that's why I was okay. But definitely rubs people the wrong way. And Mike the intern writing in right now, I truly apologize for anything and everything. I am the only one at fault here, and I've never meant to do anything wrong.
Michael is no longer Keith and Henda's intern, having stepped down in order to go to culinary school. He's been replaced by another 19-year-old named Kyle. The Keith and the Girl Show is a free daily podcast available for download at keithandthegirl.com. There you can also see the video of Michael getting his branding. My website is at keithcourage.com, where my various video and audio projects are available.
All right. Take it easy, Finale. I hope that you can edit this well. I'd probably use that crucifixion part for the end, personally. But you're the editor. All right, take it easy.